Hi, my name is Björn Eriksson, and I'm working as a technical evangelist for DPE in Microsoft Sweden. And with me here I have Alan Smith from Knowit.
Hi, my name is Alan Smith. I work for Knowit Consulting. I'm also a Connected Systems Developer MVP, an Azure Insider, and I run the Sweden Windows Azure Group.
And you have something to show us here today about the cloud and Kinect and ray tracing?
Yeah, it's really a pet project that I've been working on for a number of years. As I was teaching Azure courses, I wanted a great example to show sort of when you would use Windows Azure worker roles and the scalability capabilities that we've got within Windows Azure.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a history to this as well. One of my hobbies back in the 90s was working with text-based ray tracers, and Wikipedia talks a bit about ray tracing and shows you a bit of the theory. And ray tracing is great, it's really creative, but the frustrating thing is it can take hours, sometimes days, to create animations using ray tracers. And the historical aspect is I'm really using this application, which is polyray.exe. When I got my first job in the IT industry in 1995, this was the program that I was using. And text-based ray tracing, you basically start with an image, basically a scene description file, which is in text, which we can see here. Mm-hmm. And it basically defines various textures. We've got a wooden texture, a glass texture, a shiny surface texture, and a chrome texture. We define a viewpoint, we define some lights, and then here we can define objects like disks and cylinders. And if we put this into the actual ray tracer, what we get out of it is pin.jpg, which is this JPEG image here, okay, which is showing the sphere and showing the cylinder. Now, if we want to do something a bit more complex, what I'm actually going to be rendering is a pin board. So the actual image that I want to get out here is going to be this. This is in quite low resolution here, but we'll see higher resolution examples later on. And this is one of those executive desktop toys where you push your hand in, and it's got thousands of pins, the pins push out to the actual shape of your hand. So that's okay for getting the pin board. Now, to generate the actual scene file for that, if we look at the actual description file for pin board, which is this PI file here, there's thousands and thousands of these cylinders and spheres. If we look, if I just turn on the status bar, you can see that that's 23,000 lines of code to actually generate that image. So there's a lot of these primitive shapes here.
Yeah.
So to generate those, what I'm doing is I'm using Visual Studio, and I'm using C# to actually generate. I've got a class here that represents a pin,
okay,
and a class that represents the pin animation. And I've got these various for next loops that's going to generate the array of pins, thousands and thousands of these pins. I think there's about 13,000 pins in that image,
okay,
and generate the actual file. So that's what gets me my pin board. So the interesting thing is when we actually start to model the pins being being pushed out. And what I started experimenting with was taking something like this, which is the Azure logo, mm-hmm, and then actually projecting that out into the actual pins. So what I do is in C#, I basically read in all of the pixels in that image,
okay,
and then generate the actual pin depth being based on the actual color that we've got in the image there.
Okay.
So I've got one of those, which is the Azure logo.py, and what I'm actually going to do is show how long it takes to actually render. So if I run a polyray and run it with the Azure logo.py, what that is going to do is basically read in the file, and it's rendering 640 by 480. You can see the actual line count going along there. It's like 200 now, 300 now. Mm-hmm. And on this image, it's going to take maybe about 30 seconds or so to actually generate the image.
And this is just to generate one image?
Yeah, this generates one image. Mm-hmm. If I now use this application DTA and just convert this into a GIF image, the ray tracer actually spits out a TGA file, and I don't think they've been used since the mid-90s, so I'll just convert that into a JPEG image, which we can view here. And what you can see is that the Azure logo is actually pushing out the pins based on the actual image that we've got there. So what I really wanted to do, if you actually look at the Azure logo image, this is really colors. It's not really showing depth.
Yeah.
So in order to get a more accurate representation, what I really wanted to is actually have a depth image where the lightness of the pixel is based on the actual, you know, closeness that you are to the camera rather than the amount of light that's falling on that particular part of the image.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where Kinect comes in. Kinect actually does have a built-in depth camera.
So if we switch
to the actual application that I'm using here. Now, this is didn't take me long to build. It took me a couple of hours. It's basically the Kinect Explorer application with a couple of modifications in. And the Kinect depth camera, if I just draw on the whiteboard, we've got our Kinect sensor here. And the depth camera is going to have basically a long range of depth. Now, if you're using an Xbox Kinect, you're typically standing 2 or 3 meters away from the controller. The Windows Kinect, which I'm using here, actually has a near view option here, where the actual user is going to be at a certain distance from the camera. However, the Kinect depth has quite a range of depth, and what I'm really interested in for simulating the pinboard image is just taking a slice of that depth range. And saying everything in front of this range is going to be white, everything behind this range is going to be black, and the actual range I'm going to be using is this actual range here. So what I've added to the Kinect Explorer is these two sliders where I can actually set the minimum and the maximum depth that we're going to be recording here. And if I sort of stand in front of the camera and push my hand in here, you can see that it becomes fully white here and it becomes fully black here. And that's the actual range that we're using. And I can increase that range just to actually have, you know, better control over what I'm generating.
Cool. So this will generate the images that you will then use in your application to render. So
I've added a couple of buttons here. I've got the actual start button here and the stop button here. And when I click on this button, what it's going to be doing is start capturing the frames, storing them in memory as JPEG images. And when I click on the stop button, it's going to save all of those frames down onto the actual hard drive.
Okay.
So if I click on the start button, you can see the actual frame count here. And if I come into the image like this, it's basically simulating, and you can see the actual depth that as I'm talking coming into this image here. And I can, you know, generate patterns by pushing out my hands, you know, coming in with my face like this, coming in with my whole body like this. And I'm going to generate about 2,000 frames, so we're going to get maybe, you know, a couple of minutes of animation from that. And just come in and just make some impressions. You can also put the pen in and, you know, do things like this, just you know, slide it across and do some, you know, hand images like that. So now what's happening is it's actually saving the images down as JPEG files, and we should be able to go in and look where these are in the actual frames section.
Okay.
So it's going to generate these 2,000 JPEG images, and we can go in and see these. And so for each of these frames, we've got the actual depth image. It's then going to be read in by the C# application to simulate the pins coming out of the actual pin board. So the output from the modified Kinect Explorer that I was using has basically generated about 2,100 of these depth images there that we can use as an animation. So each frame that I've got here is going to be used to generate a frame in the ray traced animation. And the animations are going to be rendered in Windows Azure. So I've got this uploader console. And if I press Control F5 on this to actually run the uploader, what that's going to do is to start loading up those actual GIF images and creating the actual frames. And I'm using background threads here, so it's created frame. We're up to sort of 30, frame 40. And we'll see it as it actually uploads the frames. We'll see those frames being uploaded again. It does take a while to upload because each of the actual frames contains, you know, the sort of 33,000 lines of code there. So it will take a while for the actual upload to take place. But a bit about the actual application. Here's the actual code which is going through the images here. So I'm basically getting the actual file name for the particular frame that I'm using. And then what I'm doing is basically calculating for each pin that we've got in the array of pin boards, which pixel that pin corresponds to. And then dependent on the actual color in the pixel here, I'm taking the actual blue channel, but it's a monochrome pixel. So whatever color that we've got, it's going to actually set the depth of the actual pin in the pinboard animation based on that actual pixel. So I had to play around a bit with the physics of the pins because I found out that when I was taking the actual raw depth, there was a bit of noise around the edges of my hand and so on. So we're getting a bit of shaking. The pins were like, you know, sort of popping in and out.
Okay.
So what I've done here is an actual frame within the actual pin itself. And what I was basically saying is, okay, once we've pushed the pin out and then I move my hand back, the pin is going to stay out for a certain amount of time. And that's when I've got this this fallback start or this actual untouched variable. So if the pin is untouched for a certain number of frames, it will stay out. Otherwise, it will start to actually you know, slide back in to actual a depth of zero. And that gave it a much more realistic realistic feel when you actually see the animation there. So I'm going to break away whilst the upload is running. You can see that it's you know, generated up to frame 640 there. And we've uploaded frame 30. And we've uploaded frame 32 there.
Okay.
And it's going to take a while for that upload to run. So we'll break away and come back when that upload is complete.
Excellent.
And look at how we can do the rendering.
Okay.
Okay, so we're partway through uploading the animation frames. We've got about 1,500 animation frames uploaded now. And what's happening here is each of those text-based files that we're using to generate the image is being uploaded by this animation creator into the actual blob storage here. So that's basically putting, you know, these 2,000 images in blobs. Each time it uploads one of those images in blobs, it also places a message on this job queue to basically specify that there's an animation job waiting to be processed. And what I'm going to do now is to deploy the actual Windows Azure application that we're going to use to do the rendering. So I'm going to go into my Azure portal here to this actual hosted service that I've created. Mm-hmm. And here I've got the deployment package that I'm going to actually deploy there. So I'm just going to copy this path into the clipboard and take new production deployment. CloudRay, I'll call it. Just browse locally and just paste in that path. So that's the actual deployment package itself.
And the configuration file.
That's the configuration file there. And I'm going to click on OK. And that's going to upload and start to provision the actual environment. Mm-hmm. So we'll go into Visual Studio and have a look at what that project looks like here. So first of all, we'll just look quickly at the configuration file. And I've configured it to have 16 instances, 16 worker roles that are going to be processing those. And this is the actual code for the worker role itself. Within the project, the two applications that I was using, PolyRay, which is the actual ray tracer, and DTA, which converts the TGA files.
That's the same that ones used in the beginning.
Yeah, so they're being uploaded. And I've also specified the copy always, so they're going to be actually copied into the deployment package. And what I'm doing is basically looping through, dequeuing messages from the job queue, which is here. And it provided we get a message, what we're going to do is to actually download the actual render file down into local storage. So the worker roles basically look like this. We've got some local storage here. What we do is each time we get a message from a queue, it identifies the actual file, and the file is downloaded there to the local storage. And then we actually run a process, which is PolyRay, to actually process that image. And it will save into local storage the TGA file, which is then converted into a GIF file. And once that's been done, once we've actually got the rendered frame, we're going to actually upload the file into the blob storage, and then we're going to actually add a message onto the download queue, just to say that the message is completed.
Okay.
So the image will be uploaded into this blob storage here.
And that is the rendered image?
Yeah, actual completed image. And then we'll place a message on this queue here, just to say that we've got an image ready for download. And what we're doing is we're just basically taking that process and we're multiplying it by 16, because we're using 16 worker roles. And the load balancing works really well, because they're just basically pulling messages off these queues. It doesn't matter how many instances we've got. It will scale because of the way that the queues and the jobs are deployed in Azure Storage.
And this is also since there's like a one-to-one relation between the number of messages in the queue and the number of images uploaded. So basically, each worker role can pick one message and say, okay, render this image, and then just put the output to the other queue and to the... Okay, perfect.
Yeah. What we really want to do is to actually monitor what's going on. And when the worker role starts, I've got this table here, which is the role lifecycle table, and it will basically write some information down into this table. So we get information about when the role started, how many frames it's rendered, the actual CPU time that we've used here. And I've got a simple Windows Presentation Foundation application there, where I just click on Update, and it will go in and just tells us at the moment that we've got zero worker roles, mm-hmm. zero CPU time, and zero total frames. And as the worker roles are deployed, yep. we will see information appearing there.
Okay.
Okay, so you can see that we've now got four worker roles that are running. If I click on update on this, you can see that we've now got nine worker roles.
Okay, so that's like each instance spinning up. As they're spinning up, they are starting.
Yeah, as they're spinning up, they write some information to that table.
Yep.
And each of those is represented by the picture of the server, and it's got zero in it, which basically means that that instance hasn't rendered any frames yet.
Okay.
And each time a frame is completed, the worker role instance will update there each time it renders a frame. So we can see how effective the load balancing is across the environment. Press refresh again, we've now got 12 instances.
Going for 16.
And yeah, it will take about, I think it's about 3 minutes per frame, because I'm using anti-aliasing and I'm using quite a high resolution on those images there. So after a few minutes, we should see, we've got all 16 up and running there.
Mm-hmm.
And that took, between the first one and the last one, probably about 2 minutes, 30 seconds,
okay.
and we're about 6 minutes, five, 6 minutes into since deploying it. So mm-hmm. it's very quick to get those instances up there and running.
And now we're waiting for the first image to be rendered.
Yes, yeah, we should see that appearing in the total frames count there. Okay, so now we can see that we've actually got one frame rendered on the first server mm-hmm. here. And because these servers started running sort of fairly quickly at the same time, you can see that we've now got the second frame rendered there. And the third one has rendered a frame.
Okay.
And it's about 3 minutes per frame per server here.
Mm-hmm.
So with these 16 instances running, it's not really going to be giving us that much out of an output. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take hours and hours to actually render this this animation here.
Yep.
We really want to get the animation rendered a lot quicker. So with these 16 instances running here, what I'm going to do is to go in and actually scale the application and multiply the whole thing by 16, so we should have 256 images, 256 worker roles that are going to do the rendering.
Okay.
So in order to do that, what I'm going to do is to change the configuration in here. If I just click on the CloudRay deployment and click on Configure, I can edit the current configuration. And scaling is very easy. I'm just going to delete 16 and change this to 256 and click on OK. And that's going to actually change the deployment configuration and give us a lot more servers to do the processing there. Now, it will take a few minutes when I was testing it, maybe about 5 or 6 minutes for these extra instances to appear.
Yep.
But the actual output that it's going to be giving us is going to be you know, much higher throughput, much greater number of frames per minute.
And this project of yours, it's sort of a hobby project, but do you see any like real solutions for the enterprise or where they could use like this massive scale out?
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting thing is the cost. You know, the price difference between, you know, running 16 instances for 16 hours or 256 instances for 1 hour,
yeah.
it costs the same. And if you think about an on-premise solution, the you know, price difference between buying 16 servers and buying 256 servers is a big difference.
Yeah, definitely.
And for a lot of organizations, you know, where are they going to put 256 servers? How are they going to, you know, configure them? How long is it going to take, you know, for that order?
Utilize them when they're done with this process.
Yeah,
what to do with them afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about using this using a cloud-based solution is it can take maybe about 10-12 minutes for me to provision 256 servers. I can use them for an hour and then just basically delete the deployment and stop paying for them.
Yeah.
So I think for any, you know, any scenario where you need to have a lot of computing power for a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
You know, sort of a doing an end-of-year processing, end-of-month processing, any scientific computing, all these heavy calculations, and also, you know, 3D animation rendering. For
mm-hmm.
small animation shops, it's really out of their range to get, you know, really sort of large rendering environments.
Mm-hmm.
But Windows Azure allows them to, you know, have that capacity within mm-hmm. their reach and just pay for it when they need to use it.
Exactly. Cool.
Okay, so now we can see that we've got a few of the other instances coming up, and we're only sort of, you know, 10 minutes into the mm-hmm. The demo here. And, you know, now we've got like 39 worker roles running, and if I press on update again, Here comes another three of them, mm-hmm. so we're now up to 42. Update again, and we're now up to 47. So we're really getting a huge increase in the actual processing power. We've got 32 frames rendered. It's still showing an average of about 2 frames per minute, mm-hmm. but that we should see a big increase in that once we get all of the actual worker roles up and running. Now, I've got a downloader application which I'm going to start running. This is the actual process monitor that we're seeing. And what that's doing is it's just basically reading from that table when I press the update button and displaying the information and the statistics here. And the image downloader is going to actually start pinging this queue here, dequeuing messages from here. And then it's going to actually sort of download the actual JPEG images into the actual sort of local storage on my laptop. So I'll be able to view the animation there. And because we have got, 37 total frames mm-hmm. Rendered now, I should be able to start that application and see them.
So start downloading the frames to your local computer.
Yeah, and it's much quicker to do the actual downloads because the actual sort of JPEG files are fairly small. You can see how quickly mm-hmm. the JPEG images are coming down.
Yeah.
So if you go to that actual folder, which is this anim test folder here, you can actually see the frames coming through. If I double click on this, this should open this in this application here. So it's quite high resolution here. Yeah. You can see the actual frames that are being generated there. Now, to produce the actual animation, what I'm going to use is an application called Virtual Dub, which is able to understand a stream of JPEG images and convert them into an actual AVI file. So if I go in and just open at the correct location. And what that will do when we press on play, it will basically run through all of the actual JPEGs and actually show the finished animation. So we've got 43 frames downloaded so far. If we go back to the process monitor and just do an update here, you can see that we're now up to 45 total frames. We haven't really got any frames from the other mm-hmm. instances that we've got, but we've got 170 worker roles running here. And just click on update again. And once that's got out to the full 256, we should be getting quite a high throughput of frames generated. Okay, so we've now got 256 worker roles running. Yeah. The majority of them haven't processed any frames yet, so they won't be showing in the frames per minute statistics there. But as we click on refresh, we should see a big increase. We're already running at 12 frames mm-hmm. a minute, and that will increase, hopefully, as more of these frames start to get rendered. If I go back to Virtual Dub and press F2, it will basically reload some more of those frames, and we can actually click on play and run through and show a bit more of the actual animation. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that from the actual depth image that I generated using Kinect, it's actually simulating here in the actual animation, the actual depth image coming through. And that's kind of the idea that I had in mind. And when I was working in the 90s with this technology, I always really wanted to do this type of pinboard animation. Okay. And it would have taken about 12 hours to render each frame, so it would have probably taken several months to create this animation here that we're doing in less than an hour using Windows Azure.
Yeah.
And of course, we didn't have things like the Kinect then, so it would have been really hard to actually generate this simulation of a good depth image and get something worthwhile. So if you go back here and click on Update, we've now got 245 frames rendered there. And it shouldn't take too long for the actual full animation to be rendered. The interesting thing here is we can actually see the CPU time. So the actual clock time is 18 minutes, but we've used 15 hours of compute time here mm-hmm. To actually produce all of those 259 frames there. And now we're up to 16 frames a minute with 300 rendered there.
Yeah.
So we'll come back when this has completed and just look at the overall statistics.
Excellent.
So now we can see that we've got 1971 out of the 2,000 rendered. If I update again, you can see that it's 1990.
Yeah.
And what we can see here is the actual load balancing. What we're showing here is the actual number of frames that each instance has rendered. So between mm-hmm. sort of 7 and These guys have rendered a bit more because we started those, but the load balancing is very efficient across all of those instances, which means that we've got good utilization out of those resources. So now we've done all 2,000 frames. It took us 47 minutes, almost 48 minutes for that to take place. And if you look at the compute time, it would have taken 6 days and 8 hours if you were just using one instance there. Yeah. So it's we're using a lot of compute time. Now, the great thing about using Windows Azure is once we've actually completed that animation, I can just go in here and just delete that deployment there. And that means we stop paying for those resources. We're not consuming those 256 worker roles anymore. They're going to be gone in maybe sort of 30 seconds or a minute, and we're going to stop paying for those. So the final thing to do is to look at the final animation. So what I'm going to do is to just refresh on a virtual dub, and I'm going to save this out as an AVI file, and then we can play that and just look at the finished result. Okay, so we've got the completed animation here. I'm just going to play this, and what I've done is basically rendered it now into an AVI file at 25 frames a second. And you can see that what we're doing is, you know, the depth image that we captured using Kinect is now actually, you know, pushing these pins out. We're using that to actually model the pin board. And I quite like the way that the physics is working, the way that the actual pins, you know, fall back in. And we've got the actual time delay, and it's quite a nice effect to create that.
Now we have seen the end result here. So what are your future plans for this project? Where do you want to take it next? What is your...
I think it's a great project to demo at conferences. So it'd be great to do this this on stage. Yeah. You know, the fact that you can, you know, spin up the 256 instances in, you know, sort of 10, 15 minutes is really cool to show.
Yeah.
It shows that the power of cloud computing. Also, I think it would be good to be able to have some auto-scaling capabilities in there. Mm-hmm. I've been looking briefly at the Windows Azure Scalability API.
Yeah.
And with that, you can actually look at the actual job queue, how many jobs you've got in the job queue, and be able to use that information to actually decide how many worker role instances you will need. So I won't need to scale from 16 to 256. That will be done automatically. And then also we'll be able to do the downscaling as well and remove instances when there's less information there.
Yeah.
So that will be able to, you know, handle and manage all of the billing and the control of the actual applications there. So I think that's what I'll be looking at in the next few stages.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you very much, Alan. This has been a pleasure, and that's all we have for right now. Thank you.